morning, church. Man, I love the sound of God's people fellowshipping, getting to know one another. Glad you're here. Did anybody see my email this week? So, I want to, you know, we're in this Advent season, this Christmas season. I just want, not see it, I want to make sure that you understand this. Glitter is evil, okay? I'll tell you a story. I don't think he's here. Is Daniel here this morning? He will be. My youngest grandson, he's been asked, like once here and once in school, he was asked to make a craft with glitter, and he said, "No, Papa doesn't like glitter." So I just want you to know, we're raising them right. Glad that you're with us this morning. Let's invite the Holy Spirit into this place, shall we? Father, thank you for your great love. Thank you that you are Emmanuel, God, with us. That you loved us so much that you came and became one of us, that paid the price that we owed. We celebrate that this morning. Would you send your Holy Spirit into this place? Would you, Father, just stir our hearts this morning. Surprise us with even more than we anticipated when we came this morning. We lift high the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name. In his name we pray, amen. Rise if you are able. Let's worship together.
Amen.
The King of Glory.
quick as we come to the time to light the Advent candle.
While Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. There will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." This morning, we light the second candle of Advent. This is the candle of peace.
At the arrival of Jesus, the angels proclaim peace on earth. Let us, as forgiven and redeemed people, rejoice in the peace that we have received in our own hearts through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Rise with us as we keep on singing. Children's time.
get untangled here. That's what happens with lights, right? They get all tangled up, right? All right. How's everybody this morning? Good. Are y'all excited to be here? Are y'all liking this cold, rainy, wet weather? You want snow? I don't think it's going to snow today. Yeah. Later, maybe? Okay, yeah, snow would be fun. Yeah. So, what time of the year is it?
December.
It's December, yes. But what happens in December? It is?
The birth of Jesus.
The birth of Jesus. Yes, it is the birth of Jesus. It is Christmas. Are y'all excited about Christmas?
Yes. For the presents and
everything. For the presents and everything. That's...
And worshiping God.
That's right. So, who has a Christmas tree up at their house?
Not me.
Not you? Okay.
I have a
you have a Western tree? That's great. Okay. Who has lights and decorations out in their yard?
I just have lights.
You have lights? Yeah. Anybody else have lights at their house? No? Anybody? You do? You do? Yeah. I have some lights in my yard. Yes. Do y'all like lights? Yes? You don't like lights?
No, I do.
You do? Okay. So, I have lights in my hands today. I brought a string of lights with me. Isn't that fun? Lights?
They were right. They are tangled.
They are tangled. Yes, I'm not going to worry about them, so because I don't need to untangle them. So, yeah. So, lights are beautiful, aren't they? They make everything bright. Right? They're kind of like candles. That's right. So if you have a Christmas tree or lights on your house, guess what you have to do? You have to turn them on because if you don't turn them on,
it's like darkness.
It's darkness, right? So is it important to have lights? Yes, Ali?
I know what you're talking about. It's like darkness when we sin and that's when the lights are off. But when we forgiven, the lights are back on.
Amen. There you go. Very good, Ollie. You are so right. You are so right. So I want to talk about the lights. I'm going to talk a little bit more about what you talked about there. So as we have the lights on our house, we turn them on so that people will see the light, right? Do you know that there is another light in this world? And Ollie's already mentioned it.
God.
Do you know? God. The sun, that's right, but it is Jesus. It says that Jesus is the light of the world. Did you know that? He brings light into us. When Jesus is in us, we have light, right? But if Jesus isn't in us, we live in what?
Darkness.
In darkness.
But it can't be dark because Jesus always lives with us.
That's right.
There's nowhere we can't go.
You're right. That is absolutely right. So we want that light to shine, don't we? You know? And so how do we let the light of Jesus shine in our lives? What can we do? Okay. We can pray. What else?
Worship.
We can worship. What? What did you say? You had it right, Luke. What did you say? You can love him, right? But do we keep Jesus to ourselves?
No.
We do? We keep Jesus to ourselves? No.
We
need to tell the world about this light. Because do we want others to know the light?
Yes.
Because if they don't know the light, guess what happens in their life? It's dark, right? So if we tell them about Jesus, we share that light with them so that they can know Jesus is the one true light. That because he loves them, he cares about them, and God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to that stable many, many, many years ago. But God had a bigger plan than just Jesus coming to a stable, didn't he? Do you know what Jesus' bigger plan is? What God's bigger plan?
That Jesus was going to be used to die on the cross for us.
That's right. He was going to be used for that. So do we want others to know about the light of Jesus?
Yes, ma'am.
So do we need to tell others about the light of Jesus?
Yes.
Does God's word tell us to tell others about the light of Jesus? Yes, because we don't... Amen.
Share the world about all the good today.
That's right.
It does.
You are absolutely right. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You will have the eternal life. Okay, let's say a prayer. Dearly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that Heavenly Father, you sent your son Jesus into that stable many years ago, but you had a bigger plan. You knew the plan for him to grow to be a man, and that he would go to the cross to take the payment for our sin. And we thank you for that. And we thank you that you loved us enough to send Jesus to that stable so many years ago. We thank you for this season, and I thank you that we can celebrate the joyous time of Jesus' birth. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to have you worshiping with us online. I want to go ahead and encourage you to check into this service. That would be helpful. A lot of events coming up over the next several weeks. I'm going to touch on these real quickly. Our all-church Christmas party is this afternoon. It starts at 5:30 with a program in the sanctuary. Then we'll move to the fellowship hall for a meal. And the church is providing the food for this, and so no need to bring a covered dish. So come and enjoy as we celebrate with each other. Operation Christmas Child trip to the processing center is this Friday the 13th. So if you're interested in going, contact Naomi Wood. Men's breakfast is next Saturday the 14th at Wiley Baptist. Our Christmas workshop is next Sunday the 15th. You can sign up to serve, or you can sign your children up by using the app, the website, or you can scan the QR code in the bulletin insert. And Christmas Eve service is at 5:30 on Christmas Eve. So looking forward to celebrating together that event. So if you're able to, let's stand and worship. I'm not standing and worship. Let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. And you can worship if you want to. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning, I would like to give anybody that needs prayer an opportunity to be prayed over. And it could be something going on with you personally, or it could be something going on in your circle. So if you need prayer this morning, I'm just going to invite you to stand, and we'd love to surround you and just pray over you. You don't have to say anything unless you want to. And so if you're needing prayer this morning, I invite you to go ahead and stand. We'd love to pray with you about your need. Okay. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? This is a safe place, church. All right, let's go ahead and surround these that are standing. And if you feel comfortable sharing what the need is, go ahead and do that with the people around you. And if you don't, that's okay. And after you've had a little bit of time to pray, then I'll go ahead and close this in prayer. So, Lord, receive the prayers of your people. And we pray the prayer that Jesus told his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you, if you need prayer, there will be several available for prayer after the service. Marvin, Diane, and Gregory would love to pray with you about your need. Please take advantage of that. Also, thank you, church, for your financial faithfulness. It allows us to do lots of ministry and impact a lot of lives. Thank you again for your faithfulness.
His mercy.
So this one is a new one for probably most of y'all, but this is a great song for the Christmas season. So I'm going to challenge you with two things. First off, the melody is not too hard, and you should catch on pretty quick. But with that, if you don't know the words, I would just ask you to focus on the words on the screen. Allow that to be your focal point as we continue to worship.
Whispers that hope is alive.
Good morning again, church. Glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. And as Billy stated earlier, we want to welcome our live stream worshipers as well. If you are our guest this morning, we're especially glad that you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ, the love of His people. Hope you feel His Spirit in this place. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guest registration. We'd love for our guests to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but I'd love to meet you. You can bring that card with you. I'll be at this end of the foyer at the end of the service. A couple of things. If you were not here when we announced that we are going to be attempting to add on to our church, add a new sanctuary and a gymnasium / fellowship hall right out here, if you weren't here for that, we recorded that meeting, and I've put that in my email the last few weeks. And if you're not on our email list and you either want to add your email or you want that just sent to you, just let me know. Some have asked, we will start a capital fund campaign to begin to try to raise money for that in January. Some have asked if they could give a gift now to hit their 2024 for tax purposes. And yes, you can do that. You can mark a check, building fund, or you can go to our app, and there's a giving app, and there is a place there for that. So there'll be more coming, more information coming on all that after the first of the year. So for 12 years, we have been praying for the safe return of Austin Tice, Becky's nephew. Yes, you want to come up, and Becky asked if she could speak to us. We've got some news on that front. I think it's going to be good news, too.
Appreciate it, Jeff. For 12 years, this church has been praying for our nephew, Austin Tice. He went into Syria as a journalist. He went in illegally. That's the only way Western journalists could get in. And he was going to be there for the summer to report the other side of their civil war story. We were only getting it from the tyrannical government that had been terrorizing the people. Well, now it's been 53 years. So he was going to go for the summer, report the truth, and come back. Well, he never got back, because when he got to the border to leave, they detained him. So he's been detained against his will all that time. We have not heard from him in all that time. Actually, nobody has actually laid eyes on him that we know of in all that time. But we recently received information that has been vetted that he is alive, he is healthy. That's the first time we've heard that. Even so much so that they have taken him to the dentist when he needed to. And so that news comes very welcoming right now, especially because early this morning in Syria, the people are free. The country is free now. And praise God. And the president has slithered his way to Russia with his buddies. And so the country is just celebrating, and prison doors have been open. Amen. Amen. So we're hoping that some of those doors are the ones that Austin needed to walk through, like Paul and Silas, like my sister said. And another thing that this has all been orchestrated by God. We have always known that it would happen in God's timing. We have always known that it would happen because of people praying all over the world. And I thank y'all so much for being such a big part of that prayer group. And the other thing that God orchestrated was all of Austin's immediate family, which is 17 members, had come from all over the world where they lived to Washington, D.C. this past week to talk to the government about bringing him home. And they were met with, let's wait, which we've been waiting over 12 years. And so now that the country is free, the 17 family members are still in D.C., staying longer to help get Austin home. So we're praying for number 18 to be home. Thank you.
Thanks, Becky. And so Becky and Susie both. Excuse me. Austin is their nephew, and we have been, you know, man, that's God. God is good. God is good. So we want to, in just a moment, I'll pray and we'll give God glory and thanksgiving for that news and that he gets home safely. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 12. He says that, remember at that time, and he's speaking of when we were sinners. Remember at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. So that's the state we are in outside of Christ, church. Verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one. He's speaking of Gentiles and the Jews, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. I want to read that again. By abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who are near. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we know you're here, as you promised to be here. Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving for this wonderful news about Austin Tice. God, just bring him completely home, restore him to his family and to his life, bring him home safely. What the locusts have devoured, would you restore those years and the different relationships in his life? We give thanksgiving for that. And now, Holy Spirit, would you speak to us today? Nobody wants to hear from me. We want to hear from you. So would you speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So can't believe it, September was 24 years ago. Most of y'all know my brother was in that accident with a pipeline blast. And that day forever altered our family. Jay was caught in that blast and had third-degree burns over 100% of his body. And they had him in the hospital just down the street here. And flew him to the burn unit in the hospital in Lubbock. And Mom and Dad and I jumped in the car and we headed that way. And I remember the family was gathered there. There was obviously a traumatic evening for us. Jay went to be with the Lord early in the morning. And I remember very vividly, as we were in the midst of the trauma of this moment and the grief of all of it, I remember after Jay passed away, a nurse came over to me and she said, I want to thank you and your family. And I thought, what, goodness gracious, what is she thanking me for? We were a mess. And here, she said these words, and it's seared in my mind. She said, I work in this burn unit. That's what I do. I come in every day, and that's my job. And I see tragedy and traumatic injury every day. And she said, as soon as a family walks in with their loved one, I can tell immediately if that family knows Christ. Immediately. And she said these words. She said, there's either peace or panic. Peace or panic when we face those traumatic moments in our lives. I'm continuing the Advent sermon series today, God is with us, Emmanuel. God is with us. And today's message is, got peace. So we're gonna talk a little bit about peace, and I'm kind of setting the stage here. We need to understand that there's two that are trying to influence us, two that are at work in us. And the first one is Satan, the devil. And I've actually heard pastors in coming from the pulpit over the years have actually said there's no devil. Well, my response to them is, have you read this? Have you read this? Yes, there is an enemy, the devil, and there's his minions, evil spirits, and they come to disrupt our peace. That's the devil's goal. Scripture tells us that he comes to, in Jesus' own words, to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his purpose in life, is to sow chaos and panic in our life, certainly in these moments that we face in this difficult life that we navigate. The devil, his aim is to disrupt our peace. But here's the good news. Are you ready? We also have a Savior that comes. He wants to influence us. He came to provide us peace. So you've got one that sows panic and disruption and chaos in our life, fear. And we have another one that came to provide us peace. This peace that Jesus, in his own words, John chapter 14, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. So he's saying that it seems to me that he's indicating that his peace is different. There's something different about his peace. We have the peace just like with hope, like I talked about last week. We have the peace that this world gives us, which is when all of our circumstances are perfectly lined up. We have plenty of money. Everybody likes us. We're healthy. All our relationships are good. I got a good job, a good security. All these things, when they perfect, which is about 30 minutes of our lifetime. Okay, that's how long we have those moments. That's the world's peace. Jesus said, "That's not what I came to provide you. I came to provide you my peace. It's different." A peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, these circumstances. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Church, the good news is Jesus came to provide peace. God wins in this struggle. So, a couple of questions for you this morning is we're gonna unpack that word peace a little bit, God's peace. And so the first question I would ask you is, are you filled with God's peace this morning? I want that just question to sink in a second. Are you filled with God's peace this morning? If not, would you like to be? Because God is not, he's not selecting, okay, I'll give peace to this person, but nah, I'm sorry, you didn't quite measure up. No, his peace, Jesus came to provide peace to each one of us. It's there. We're going to be talking about what that looks like and how to get it. But if you are not filled with God's peace this morning, would you like to be? So let's just kind of dive in here. God's peace, number one, God's peace is only available through Jesus. That's what I was speaking about earlier, that I've told you these things, Jesus says, so that in me you may have peace. In me, that's an important two words. In me, you may have peace. Outside of Christ, that's the people that show up and they're panicking because the life threw a curve at them and they don't know how to cope with that. They don't know. And it doesn't mean that it's easy for those of us in Christ, but there's just something different. There's a peace that transcends understanding when we're in Christ. Jesus said, I've come that in me you may have peace. I honestly could fill hours and hours just talking about scriptures that support this, but one I want us to see, Isaiah 9, verse 6. the Prince of Peace is foretold. Listen to this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And this was written some several hundred years before Christ was born. Unto us a child is given, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Say it. Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. His peace doesn't have to line up with all good circumstances in our life. This passage we read today out of Ephesians, he himself, speaking of Jesus, he himself is our peace. You want peace? You got to know Jesus, because it's only available through Jesus, that kind of peace. He has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So, God's peace is only available through Jesus. Secondly, God's peace is linked to faith in Christ. Did you know that the devil believes in Jesus? Is this on? Did you know the devil believes in Jesus? So it's not just a matter of belief. Yeah, I believe. Yeah. But we must put our faith in this Prince of Peace. Put our faith in this Prince of Peace. Romans 5, therefore, since we have been justified, meaning to be made right, we have been justified by good works. Is that what it says? I'm sorry, I misread that. We've been justified through faith. Oh, okay. It's all making sense now, yes? Since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, there's something about, and I've said this before, but there's something about knowing that whenever this life ends, I'm going to be with Jesus. I didn't plan on sharing this, but it's just come to my heart, and I'm going to share it. I think it's the Holy Spirit. I've shared it before, but 2 months before Jay's accident, he called me, and big brothers don't ever ask little brothers for advice. Did you ever know that? Any little brothers in the room, give a hallelujah? Okay. So Jay always knew best because he was big brother. But he called me 2 months before his accident, and he had someone that was struggling with, because they had some pasts. Well, I'll just tell you, because they'd been divorced in their past. And they were struggling with that they were basically going to go to hell because they'd been divorced. And Jay was trying, he said, I'm trying to explain to them the grace of God. But he said, I'm having trouble. They're not getting it. Would you talk to them? And first of all, after I got up off the floor that Jay asked me to do, and I wasn't a pastor then. I was going into ministry, but I was not a pastor. And I said, yeah, Jay, yes, I would be happy to talk to them. He said, before I hand them the phone, I want you to know, this is Jay's exact words. He said, I want you to know, I know what Jesus did for me. I know what Jesus did for me, but I'm just having trouble conveying that to them where they receive it. And at the time, I was like, Jay, I know you do. 2 months later, Jay's with Jesus. And I believe with all my heart that was a gift. The Lord gave me and my family a gift to know that Jay knew the Lord. Very unmistakable statement. It's linked to faith in Christ. Several years ago, I was getting some of my seminary education. I was in Raleigh, North Carolina with my family. The girls were pretty little, and Cheryl and the girls went with me. I was going through Duke's course of study, Divinity School of Study, and I was in class one day, and the girls were out, Cheryl and the girls were out doing girl things, looking at lollipops or flowers or bubbly clouds in the sky. I don't know what girls do. But they were out doing girl things. And I got a phone call, and Cheryl said, we've been in a car accident. I was in class, and I said, you guys okay? Yeah, we're okay, but I just wanted you to know. We've been in an accident, and so they had the car. I didn't have a car, so I got one of my buddies. I said, "Hey, would you please run me over to where she told me where they were?" And it was a fairly busy highway, and they were pulled off on the side of the road when I got there. And I say it's a pretty busy highway, and there was a guardrail on the side, and Cheryl and the driver from the other vehicle and the police officer were working through the details of the accident. And there was a man sitting on the guardrail, and I didn't know him. He was the husband of this lady who Cheryl had an accident with. And I went over and I just sat on the side of the guardrail, and what's the first thing you ask another man when you meet him?
What do you do?
What do you do? And I said, "What do you do?" "Well, I'm retired." "I'm retired." "Oh, okay." And he said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor and I'm here." And I don't know if he heard anything else. I was telling him I was there for some education. But I saw in his eyes when I said, "I'm a pastor," something sparked. And so we started a conversation. His name was Jim. And Jim just started telling me his story, his life. He was not a believer in Christ, and he had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And Jim was scared to death of dying. And we talked, and I'm telling you, the last thing, it's not boasting about this, but the last thing in the world that I had time to do was be a pastor. I was going to school all day, and I was reading and writing papers all night, and on the weekends, I had told the girls, "Hey, y'all can go, and y'all do your girl things, but I've got school." And yet, I knew the Lord was saying I needed to speak into Jim's life, and so I met with him several nights at his home. He and his wife's name was Candy, and I met with them several nights, and I heard Jim's story, and I heard his fears and so forth, and I told him about Jesus. And it's interesting that in one of my classes was on the act of baptism. One of my classes was, you know, what's it about and how do we do it and what's the symbolism behind all that. And so I led Jim to the Lord. And he wanted to be baptized, and I encouraged him, we need to be baptized. And I went to my professor. At the end, we were supposed to do kind of role plays of a baptism. And I said, "How would you like to have a real baptism?" And my professor said, "I've got to check with the dean." Anyway, we got it all approved, and I contacted a local pastor there that could come in and be a church family for Jim and Candy, and he was there, and I baptized Jim. I've got a picture somewhere. I didn't dig it out, but baptized Jim in class. And about a year or so later, I got word that Jim had passed away, and I got this email from Candy, his wife, and she said this. She said, I texted or sent an email to Candy, and I said, "I just learned of Jim's passing. I just wanted you to know that I am sorry for your loss, and my prayers are with you. As always, I wish the very best for you. May God hold you close, Jeff." And she responded to that, and she said, "Thank you, Jeff. I think you would like to know that in his delirium several days before his death, Jim, he couldn't speak. Jim wrote your name a couple of times. I asked if he was thinking of you, and he nodded. I know he is with Petey Boy." They had lost a son. "I know he is with Petey Boy now, and that they are both whole and well and happy. I appreciate the peace of mind you gave Jim, Candy. And I want you to know, I didn't give Jim peace. I just gave him Jesus. I introduced him to Jesus. Jesus is the one that provides peace. It's only, God's peace is only available through Jesus, and it's linked to our faith in Christ. And then thirdly, God's peace transcends feelings and circumstances. Paul writing in Philippians, you know, and again, I've preached on Paul before, talked about Paul a lot, but this guy, you know, he was an enemy of the church, and he would stand by and watch Christians be killed or imprisoned, And then he had his Damascus Road experience. He came to Christ, and then he begins to share the gospel, start churches all over. You and I, as Gentiles, we're believers in Christ through Paul, probably. And for sharing the gospel, goes through all sorts of things. He's shipwrecked. He's imprisoned. He's beaten. He's left for dead. He's falsely accused. All these different things are happening to Paul in his life. And yet he says in Philippians this, Philippians 4:12, he says, I've learned the secret. Learned is an important word here. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. What Paul is saying is, man, I've been beaten and left for dead, but I've learned to be content in that situation because Christ loves me. I've been shipwrecked, not sure I would survive, but I've learned to be content in that situation. And then he goes on in Philippians to say, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And here it is, here's the payoff. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God's peace, when our peace is based on faith in Christ, it transcends all understanding, all circumstances that we face in this world. And we know many of you have been through difficult seasons in your life. But God's peace transcends those things. And finally, God's peace proves our faith genuine. Proves our faith genuine. Jesus, again, his words, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And then we know that the fruit of the Spirit, God's Spirit that Jesus sent on Pentecost and now God himself lives inside of us through his Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I've encouraged the church to learn that passage. Galatians 5:22 is where you can find that. A few weeks ago, I think it was Carlene was talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It may have been Teresa, and she asked the kids, did they know the God's fruit? And man, those kids are. And I leaned over to Cheryl and I said, they may know more than some of our parents. I'm just saying. You bring your children to church and they'll learn God's word. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Man, I don't know about y'all, but I need the Lord's peace in my life. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that when we went through that season with my family, that there was peace and not panic. And the fact that that nurse saw that, and this is not a boastful statement, it's just it demonstrates that the power we have as believers in Jesus Christ. That the fact that that nurse saw something different in the way our family was grieving compared to what some families demonstrate when they're grieving. Peace or panic, which way do we live our lives? God wants us to have peace, church. God's peace, peace that only he can provide. If you'll bow your heads with me. Father, if there are those this morning that don't have peace in their life, maybe they answered that question, I don't have peace, but I'd really like to have peace. If someone this morning, right there, Lord, I know you've come to provide us that peace. So would you move in each life? Would you move well up inside of us? Certainly those who are lacking that peace, would you well up and convict hearts, inspire hearts? you are the Prince of Peace and that your peace you give us. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for that we are made right and righteous by the blood of the cross. That you are indeed our peace. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll rise as we close, the altar rail is always open. There will be prayers after the service available to you. If you don't know that Prince of Peace, man, he is good to know, and he knows you. Don't leave this place without talking to me about that.
When the best of me
we are brought near through the blood of Christ. He is our Prince of Peace. That is good news. News to share. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.